The Digital Markets Act, forcing change in the digital services industry to ensure more competition. While the deadline for compliance with the Digital Markets Act is fast approaching, gatekeepers in the digital services market are allegedly frantically preparing themselves for compliance. But is this ever going to happen by 5th of March 2024, in light of the robust opposition and resistance to any change, which may as much as weaken the monopolistic positions of the likes of Apple, Google, Microsoft, Meta, Amazon, and TikTok? Of course, none of these tech giants are European, and it is just not in the American or Chinese DNA to have to suffer so much interference from a state-owned entity like the European Commission, even for the sake of allowing a higher degree of competition and letting new players enter the market. So what exactly is going on? What is the Digital Markets Act? Regulation 2022, 1925 of the European Parliament of 14th of September 2022 on contestable and fair markets in the digital sector, which is the Digital Markets Act, is a regulation from the European Union that aims at ensuring a higher degree of competition in European digital markets by preventing larger companies from abusing their market power and by allowing new players to enter the market. Indeed, the DMA, which is the short acronym for Digital Market Act, the DMA is designed to prevent the leveraging of market power across different digital services, including through a prohibition of self-preferencing. It is also designed to reduce barriers to entry or expansion across digital markets, to facilitate switching and multi-homing between services, for example, through data portability and interface interoperability requirements, and control how user data are processed and when such data may be made available to users as well as third-party competitors. More specifically, the Digital Markets Act applies to the markets where core platform services are provided to end users and business users. So what are core platform services? Well, online intermediation services, online search engines, online social networking services, video sharing platform services, number independent interpersonal communication services, operating systems, web browsers, virtual assistants, cloud computing services, and online advertising services, including advertising networks, advertising exchanges, and any other advertising intermediation services provided by an undertaking that provides any of the core platform services that we just mentioned. So who is affected or impacted by the Digital Markets Act? Well, it's the gatekeepers. So the DMA targets the largest digital platforms operating in the EU, which are referred to as gatekeepers in this EU regulation. The term gatekeeper refers to the ability of intermediary platforms to act as the main bottleneck to a large number of participants that are not reachable elsewhere. Indeed, the Digital Markets Act provides that an undertaking should be designated as a gatekeeper where it meets three qualitative criteria. It has significant impact on the internal market. It provides a core platform service, which is an important gateway for business users to reach end users, and it enjoys an entrenched and durable position in its operations, or it is foreseeable that it will enjoy such a position in the near future. The DMA also requires undertakings to notify the European Commission where they meet three quantitative thresholds, which are which act as a presumption for gatekeeper status. Number one, the undertaking generates EU revenues of at least 7.5 billion euros in each of the last three financial years, or had an average market capitalization of at least 75 billion euros in the last financial year, and the undertaking provides the same core platform service in at least three EU member states. Number two, in each of the last three financial years, the undertaking provides a core platform service with at least 45 million EU monthly active and end users in the last financial year, and at least 10,000 yearly active EU business users. Or number three, the undertaking met the second previously mentioned criteria in each of the last three financial years. Undertakings that meet these three thresholds have the opportunity to argue that they should not be designated as a gatekeeper and thus to rebut the presumption. Conversely, the Commission can designate an undertaking as a gatekeeper where it does not meet the quantitative thresholds but nevertheless satisfies the qualitative criteria. On 6th of September 2023, the Commission designated for the first time six gatekeepers: Alphabet, which owns Google, Amazon, Apple, ByteDance, Meta, and Microsoft under the Digital Markets Act. In total, 22 core platform services provided by those gatekeepers have been designated. The Commission's designations confer gatekeeper status on 22 core platform services: Alphabet, which has Google Maps, Google Play, Google Shopping, YouTube, Google Search, Google Ads, Google Chrome, and Google Android. So many Googles. Meta, which has Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger, Meta, Marketplace, and Meta. Apple, which has the Apple Store, Safari, and iOS, the operating system. Amazon, which has Amazon Marketplace, as well as Amazon Ads. ByteDance, who owns TikTok. And Microsoft, who has LinkedIn and Windows PC operating system. More than one gatekeeper has therefore been designated for certain services. After the designation of TikTok as a gatekeeper, its parent company, ByteDance, launched itself into applying for the suspension of the Commission's decision designating the former as a gatekeeper, as well as bringing an action for annulment of that decision in November 2023. However, the EU General Court dismissed this application for suspension on the grounds that ByteDance failed to demonstrate the urgency required for an interim order in order to avoid serious and irreparable damage on the 9th of February 2024. Gmail, Outlook, and Samsung Internet Browser also met the quantitative notification thresholds, but their owners, so Alphabet, Microsoft, and Samsung, were able to persuade the Commission that the relevant services should not be designated as they did not satisfy the qualitative criteria. Having examined the submissions that were made to it, the Commission has accepted that the presumption attached to qualitative thresholds had been successfully rebutted for each of those services. Similar submissions were made to the Commission in relation to Bing, Hedge, Microsoft Advertising and iMessage. And on the 12th of February 2024, the Commission adopted decisions closing four market investigations under the DMA, finding that Apple and Microsoft should not be designated as gatekeepers for the following core platform services: Apple's messaging service, iMessage, Microsoft online search engine Bing, web browser Edge, and online advertising service Microsoft Advertising. Also, the Commission has initiated a market investigation, which must be completed within the next 12 months, to determine if the iPad operating system, iPad OS, should be added to the list of designated core platform services, notwithstanding the fact that the quantitative notification thresholds are not met. What are the obligations that gatekeepers have under the Digital Markets Act? Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, ByteDance, Meta, and Microsoft have 6 months from the 6th of September 2023, which is the date on which some of the previously mentioned core platform services were listed in the Commission's designation decisions, to comply with the obligations set out in the DMA that apply to designated gatekeepers. So they have until the 5th of March 2024, those gatekeepers, to comply. And this is why we hear so much about the DMA at the moment, as the gatekeepers frantically prepare themselves for compliance with the following DMA obligations. Inter alia, the gatekeeper shall not prevent business users from offering the same products or services to end users through third-party online intermediation services or through their own direct online sales channels at prices or conditions that are different from those offered through the online intermediation services of the gatekeeper. Also, the gatekeeper shall allow business users free of charge to communicate and promote offers, including under different conditions, to end users acquired via its core platform service or through other channels, and to conclude contracts with those end users, regardless of whether, for what purpose, they use the core platform services of the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper shall allow end users to access and use through its core platform services, content, subscriptions, features, or other items by using the software application of a business user, including where those end users acquired such items from the relevant business user without using the core platform services of a gatekeeper. Another obligation from the DMA is that the gatekeeper shall not directly or indirectly prevent or restrict business users or end users from raising any issue of non-compliance with a relevant EU or national law by the gatekeeper with any relevant public authority, including national courts, related to any practice of the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper shall not require end users to use or business users to use, to offer, or to interoperate with an identification service, a web browser engine, or a payment service or technical services that support the provision of payment services such as payment systems for in-app purchases of that gatekeeper in the context of services provided by the business users using the gatekeeper's core platform services. Another example of an obligation from the DMA is that the gatekeepers shall not require business users or end users to subscribe to or register with any further core platform services listed in the designation decisions or which meet the previously mentioned thresholds as a condition for being able to use, access, sign up for, or registering with any other gatekeeper's core platform services. The gatekeeper will have to submit detailed compliance reports to the Commission with the first report due by the 5th of March 2024. So that's tomorrow, really, where such reports explain that the measures that have been adopted by the gatekeepers to comply with the DMA, including any action taken to inform end users and/or business users of these measures and the feedback received from these users. And the gatekeeper will be under a duty to report planned acquisitions to assist the Commission in monitoring market developments and potentially problematic transactions, which may fall below EU and national merger control thresholds. If a designated gatekeeper fails to comply with its obligations, the Commission, as sole enforcer of the DMA, has the power to impose fines up to 10% of the worldwide annual turnover or up to 20% in the event of repeated infringements. The Commission also has the power to impose periodic penalty payments of up to 5% of average daily turnover. And in case of systematic infringements of DMA obligations, behavioral and structural remedies, including by ordering the divestiture of parts of a business. So I'm sure you're asking yourself, like I asked myself when I read about the DMA, why has the Digital Markets Act been adopted by the EU? By way of background, Apple's App Store and Google's Play Store created local monopolies because consumers are locked in by monetary costs and by convenience. Firstly, consumers are locked in because they incur the monetary investment cost of having all choices. There cannot be competition between app stores when consumers can only choose the one app store that is tied to the phone. To have competition between app stores, consumers would need to purchase another phone, which is costly and inefficient. Secondly, consumers are locked in because of their convenience or laziness. Apple exploits this convenience by allowing the one-click purchase option only for their own payment system. To use the external payment, consumers must click several links, which is costly in terms of time and effort. So the Digital Markets Act will spur competition by eliminating lock-in effects from both monetary investment and from convenience. For instance, phone makers will be forced to allow all app stores and give equal treatment to external payment systems. For the reason previously mentioned, the market power of big tech firms like Google, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, and Microsoft has long been a thorn in the eyes of the commission. And also the eyes of experts in the tech sector. Such concerns and frictions arose in particular with respect to several ongoing lawsuits and legal complaints lodged by the likes of Epic Games and music streaming platform Spotify against, in particular, software and hardware behemoth Apple. Let's talk about the Epic Apple case. The Epic Apple court decision in the USA illustrates how regulation in digital markets might be complex and difficult. The situation escalated when Fortnite, a free-to-play cross-platform game, was banned from Apple's App Store in August 2020. Fortnite developer Epic Games was unwilling to pay the so-called Apple tax of 30%, 30, 30%, which grants automatically one-third of all profits coming from apps and in-app transactions to Apple. Epic, eager to reclaim the total ownership over its profits, tried to circumvent this Apple tax by integrating a link into the game. This URL link recommended users to buy directly from Epic at a 20% discount using virtual money, V-Bucks, V for Vivian, Bucks, V-Bucks, instead of Apple Play. Apple then banned Epic from the App Store because the implementation of the URL link violated Apple's anti-steering clause that forbid developers to offer alternative payment systems in their apps. Only a few hours after the ban, Epic Games filed a lawsuit against Apple's abuse of market power. Google followed Apple in throwing out Fortnite from its own App Store. Some of the claims raised by Epic Games against Apple revolved around the following key points. Do Apple and Google create illegal monopolies with the app stores? Are Apple and Google abusing the in-app market power? Are consumers and users paying too much for apps and for items in these apps? Should there be regulation of the app stores of, in particular, Apple and Google? The tepid court decision on this case, handed down on the 10th of September 2021 by the US District Court for the Northern District of California, contains a mixed ruling which favors both parties, but in any case fails to acknowledge Apple's monopoly from lock-in effects. On the one hand, the judge Yvonne Rogers sets out that, and I quote here, the court cannot ultimately conclude that Apple is a monopolist and that its Apple store is not in violation of antitrust law. This part of the decision allowed Apple to continue its prohibition of third-party app stores and in-app payment systems. It further implied that consumers would buy from Apple's app store still must pay the Apple tax price, containing its commission of 30%. Judge Rogers consequently ruled against Epic Games, requiring them to pay Apple $3.6 million, i.e. 30% of the revenue that was withheld to Apple related to their attempts to bypass the App Store, and further stated that Epic Games violated its contractual terms as a developer. On the other hand, Judge Rogers decided that Apple partly engages in anti-competitive conduct in breach of a California unfair competition law by implementing its anti-steering clause that forces consumers to buy apps and in-app purchases directly from Apple's App Store. Trying to foster effective price competition, her judgment forces Apple to allow developers the integration of links into their apps that redirect users away from Apple's in-app purchasing system towards alternative payment systems. Judge Rogers issued a permanent injunction that in 90 days from the judgment blocked Apple from preventing developers from linking app users to other storefronts from within apps to complete purchases or from collecting information within an app, such as an email, to notify users of these storefronts. Epic Games appealed immediately the judgment from the US District Court. Apple also appealed. In appeal, the three-judge panel found that the lower court judgment should be upheld. However, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal agreed to stay the injunction requiring Apple to offer third-party payment options in July 2023, allowing time for Apple to submit its appeal to the US Supreme Court. Both Apple and Epic Games have escalated this appeal decision to the Supreme Court in July 2023. And Epic Games' emergency request to lift the Ninth Circuit's stay was denied in August 2023. So under the US justice system, Apple can, in all impunity, still refuse to let Fortnite back into its app store until the completion of all litigation related to the dispute, which might have taken a minimum of 5 years, if not more, thereby prolonging the resolution of the dispute until 2026. However, on the 16th of January 2024, the US Supreme Court declined to hear the appeals from Apple and Epic in this case, with all charges dismissed except for the anti-steering charge. To implement this, Apple allowed developers to include metadata buttons, external links, or other calls to action that direct customers to purchasing mechanisms, but required that developers give Apple 27% of all sales made within 7 days of being directed to these external sites, which Apple described as a reasonable means to account for the substantial value Apple provides developers, including in facilitating LinkedIn transactions. In addition, the Apple's App Store posts a warning screen stating that Apple is not responsible for any security or privacy issues related to third-party payment systems when clicking through to one of these systems. Epic Games stated that these changes are in bad faith compliance with the court orders, maintaining a 27% anti-competitive tax and a scare screen that are intended to dissuade developers from using third-party payment systems, and planned to challenge these changes in court. Apple requested the lower court to order Epic Games to pay 90% of Apple's legal fees, estimated at $73 million, based on the fact that nine of the 10 claims Epic Games filed were dismissed by the court. This legal saga shows how pre-Digital Markets Act, the lock-in effects play an important role and shift market power to gatekeepers like Apple in the digital economy. Apple announced in January 2024 that to comply with the DMA, it will now allow third-party storefronts to be loaded onto the iOS devices, the Apple operating system devices, in March 2024. In response, Epic Games stated that they plan to bring the Epic Games Store as well as Fortnite to iOS in Europe. However, Epic Games still argued that the new terms for use in the EU of Apple's App Store were a, and I quote here, a new instance of malicious compliance and would continue to challenge those through legal routes. Now, let's have a look at another example of why the DMA, Digital Markets Act, came to be. And that is the Spotify versus Apple beef. Many companies, such as Airbnb and even Facebook, publicly sided with Epic Games. Top music streaming platform Spotify had even filed an EU antitrust complaint against Apple on the 13th of March 2019. With the commission, alleging that the Apple tax harms consumer choice and stifles innovation. EU competition regulators initially sent a statement of objections to Apple in 2021, raising their own concerns that Apple's in-app payment rules were anti-competitive. 2 years later, an updated statement of objection was sent by the Commission to Apple, announcing that the investigation had been narrowed to specifically focus on the anti-steering provision, i.e., the fact that app developers cannot sign post users to other payment options outside of their apps. The Commission took the preliminary view that Apple's anti-steering obligations are unfair trading conditions in breach of Article 102 of the Treaty on the Functioning of the EU. On the 19th of February 2024, the press unanimously reported that nearly 5 years after Spotify first submitted its formal complaint, EU regulators are about to fine the tech giant Apple 500 million euros for breach of competition law. The EU regulators have reportedly concluded that Apple's App Store rules regarding the highlighting of payment options outside the Apple ecosystem are prejudicial against streaming services that compete with the tech giant's own Apple Music. These rules are unfair trading conditions, according to the EU regulators, reportedly. Spotify and many other app developers have long criticized Apple's App Store rules in relation to in-app payments. Those rules state that with certain apps, all in-app payments must be taken using Apple's own commission charging transaction platform. Not only that, but app developers cannot signpost users to other payment options outside of their apps, the rule referred to as the anti-steering provision, as I just mentioned. Apple's commission on in-app payments is up to 30%, as mentioned before. As Spotify's profit margin is also in the region of 30%, it would need to pass on the Apple charge to the customer, which makes a Spotify subscription look more expensive than an Apple Music subscription. The other option, which is the one Spotify took, is not to take in-app payments at all. But that makes upselling premium subscriptions to free tier users much harder. And the introduction of pay-to-access tools within the Spotify app to monetize podcasts and audiobooks, basically impossible. While Apple says that it has already made some changes to its App Store rules in Europe in order to comply with the DMA, Spotify argues that those changes do not deal with the issues it had raised about Apple's in-app payment rules. Spotify's summary of Apple's plans is that app developers will have other options for taking payments, but will still have to share any income from in-app transactions with the tech giant. Apple is still charging a 17% rent on developers for existing in the App Store if they offer alternative payment methods or link out to their own websites, Spotify explains. Plus, there is a completely new 50 cents fee per download, so 50 cents fee per download every year in perpetuity to Apple for just allowing developers to exist on the Apple operating system. The ball is in your court, European commissioners, Spotify says in its blog, and once and for all, you must reject this blatant disregard of the very principles you worked so hard to establish. Daniel Ek is quite the poet, don't you think? To conclude, the DMA, the Digital Markets Act, is going to create tectonic shifts in the digital services industry, what with a deadline of the 5th of March 2024 fast approaching. Gatekeepers must change their ways in the EU first, but gradually around the world. Otherwise, they will be handed down hammering fines and penalties from the Commission and from other competition authorities in the world, which will just make it unsustainable for them to keep on offering services in the EU. Let's hope that the likes of Apple and Google get the message quickly, because neither natural persons, customers like myself, nor business users stand to gain anything if Apple, Microsoft, and Google desert our European shores. This is it from me, dear listeners. Thank you ever so much for being with us today, and I shall speak to you very soon.